Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachis Daf Zayin. We are holding on Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. So right in the middle, we're right in the middle of a discussion regarding the Shita of Ben Becerra, who tells us that even if a fellow who's not meant to be doing the kmitza, let's say he's a zar, a regular Yisrael, a non-kayin, does kmitza from a mincha, it's never too late. Just redo it. You see, unlike, for example, shechita, they cannot be redone. Once it's done, it's over. Kmitza, no problem. Just put it right back where you took it from and have the kayin start over again. Now, according to some opinions, it all depends how far he went. If he merely did kmitza, okay, you can turn the clock back. But if you went ahead and did the second step as well, which is kiddush kli, he took the kmitza material and put it into a kli shoris to be mekandisha, to elevate its status, to upgrade it, to give it the kedusha in preparation for the haktorah, he's gone too far. He's advanced too far in the process to allow for a redo. Ask the Gemara. Hold it. So, if he merely does kmitza, no problem, put it right back. But if he did the kmitza and took that material and put it into a kli to be mekadesh it, that's gone too far. What's the difference? In both cases, it's an unqualified individual who did some form of avoida, which you're just canceling and allowing a redo. So what's the difference whether he's putting it back in the original kli or had already placed it in the new kli? Maskeflo Rav Nachman, my kosavri, how do we understand the opinion of these tanoim who differentiate, who say, well, if you went too far by placing it into the next kli, it's over. Hani tanoi, ik mitzas psulin avoidi. If a kmitza executed by a puzzle person is deemed an avoida, which cannot be redone, which cannot be cancelled. Afgav deloy avid lematen kli. Then, even if he hadn't put the kmitza in a new kli, the kmitza that a puzzle did disqualifies the mincha permanently. On the other hand, if the kmitza that a pasul does is just ignored, it's a non-event, which allows for redo, so who cares if he puts it into a kli? It's a non-event. He has no right to do it. That has no effect. Just redo it. Hadar. Amar Rav Nachman. Comes Rav Nachman and explains. Certainly, you have to reckon with kmitza executed by a pasul as well. However, the avoida is only deemed complete and to be reckoned with if, in fact, he took the kmitza and placed it in the kli and completes the sort of the kmitza process. At that point, it's too late. But if it's just kmitza per se, just cancel it. Yachi, ask the Gemara interesting question now. So by placing it into the next kli, too far advanced in the process, you makadesh a kaimis that was done by a apostle, mincha's gone. But if you're still holding it in your hand, just put it right back. Guess what? When he puts it back, he's putting it back where? Into a kli sharis. That itself should be considered like being makadesh a kaimis, like matan kli, in which case, you've gone to the second step, regardless, which makes it too late to turn back the clock. Even if he hadn't done Kiddush, you're running the same issue. Because when he places the kaimitz back to its old location, in the first kli, Tigdush v'livsel, then itself should make it Kaddush and should be poisel the whole mincha. Because that in itself is a completion of the kmitza process. Here come several explanations several solutions to this problem, to explain why, in fact, restoring the Kohimis to its original Kli is not considered like Kiddush Kli, and is not considered like a completion of this invalid Kmitza process. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yosemeres, we learn from here, Kli Shores and Mekachin Olamidas. Kli Shores only has the ability to Mekadosh its content when it's done with intention, with purpose, with mindfulness, as opposed to this fellow who just put the kmitz back without any interest in having the kli sanctify the kmitz. It won't do it. Ask the Gemara. Okay, just as a side point. So you mean homi das mikachin? But let's say he would have das to have the kli shoris be mikachin. It would work even though he has no business being involved in the mincha to begin with. He's a puzzle and the kmitz is really. Really? V'habay minei Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish asked this very question of Rabbi Yechanan. Kli Shoris, ma'o shikachu psulin. Can a Kli Shoris be mekadosh something which is possible? For instance, a kaimis that was done by Yazar. L'chatchil likariv. To mekadosh it, to allow it to be taken to the Mizbeach for akrav. Amar lei, no, ain mekadosh, it doesn't work. But it's not suitable material, it's done by a... And here we say, I guess we just said that the only reason why the kaimitz done by the pasul is not going to get an upgrade is because there was no das. But if there would be das, it would work, even though it was done by a pasul. Amar lei, someone responds, "Ein mekachin li karev al mekachin li pasul." You're right. The klisharis cannot really sanction the kaimitz which is pasul in order to allow it for Akrava, but it does, to a certain extent, affect it in a negative manner. It sort of commits it to what it is, which means to say that it completes the Kmitza process to the point that you can't redo it. That much the Klisharis will do if there was Das. But in this case, there was no Das to do that, so we're safe. Here comes another answer to that question. What happens when the kaimitz is returned to the original kli? Why is there no kiddush kli? Rav Amram Amar Kigon Shechzira Levisa Gedusha was speaking that it was a bowl, right? The bowl that had the mincha material was overflowing, was heaping. So basically, it was full to the tippy top, and the restoring of the kaimitz on top of that is not considered inside the kli; it's outside. So there's no kiddush kli. Ask the Gemara, now if this Kli is so full to the brim, how do you do the Kmitza to begin with? The Kmitza has to be done from inside the Kli, not, you know, from the heaping above. So we're switching it slightly. Rather than speaking about a heaping bowl, it was just fully, you know, filled to the brim. So the original Kmitza, the scoop, was from within the confines, within the interior of the Kli, and that's why it's a proper kmitza. Ask the Gemara, okay, v'chiva the kamasle of a liguma. So once he scooped out the kmitza, there was a little indentation, right? Is it now a little dip there? So when he puts it back into that dip, it's inside the walls of the Kli, not on top. So it has kiddush Kli, back to the question, right? When he puts it inside the kli, kimahadli, when he restored it into the dip, into this hole, kimahadli, he's returning it into the kli. So there should be kiddush kli, back to the question. The answer is like this: he put it next to that dip, so the kli was full to the brim. He scooped out, made a little hole, but when he put the kaimitz back, he put it next to that hole, you know, towards the side of the kli. So technically, the kaimitz was sort of above the walls of the kli. So there's no kiddush kli. Michi mahadli manachli le'adaf nedemana. When he puts it back, we're speaking that he put it near the walls. Umanadli lebenafel memela, and he sort of shook the kli around, umanadli, and had the kaimitz sort of sink in by itself. And that will not make the kaimitz kaddish. You know why? Because it wasn't done directly. It wasn't done manually. Gemara uses an example like a monkey would have done it. The Nasa Kimi Shechzir HaKoyim is like a monkey returned, put into the clay. It wasn't done by the way of a person directly, so there's no Kiddush Kli. Okay, so that's another answer. Tell a question. Why is there no Kiddush Kli? The first answer was, there's no Das. Second answer was, it wasn't within the walls of the Kli. Here comes the third terz. Amalei Rav Yirmiya, he asked the question of Rav Zera. Why can't we give another solution to this question? Well, like what we can explain, that we're speaking of Sheikh Ziroi, L'Kli HaMunachal Gavei Karka. He put the kaimitz back into the original kli when it was on the floor. And a kli shor is called to be mekadesh its content when it's in the hands of a kohen. So in conjunction with the kohen, right? But if it's sitting on the floor, it doesn't have that ability. Why can't we speak about that? A simple case like that. Elo shma mino kaimitzin mikli shal gabe karak. It would seem from here that sitting on the floor would not deactivate the power of the kli. The kli can still be mekadesh even when it's on the floor. Amalei Rav Zera says, it's not so simple. You're running into a big controversy. Kanagas, you're not touching upon an old question. Mibayi, it was a question. We had a question amongst our colleagues as follows. There was a story of Rabbi Avimi. The Rabbi Avimi, Tani Menachis, he learned the Mesachas Menachis, Beir Rav Chisda, Beir Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was his Rabbi. Really? Rav Chisda was Avimi's Rabbi, if anything, the other way around. V'chi Avimi, Rav Chisda, Tani, Rav Avimi learned in the Besmej of Rav Chisda. We find that Rav Chisda related to Avimi as his teacher. V'amar Rav Chisda tells us, Kulfi Tabi, many clubs, many blows, many embarrassments. Bali me Avimi, swallowed from Avimi, Allah da Hashmaita, regarding a certain halacha that I couldn't figure out. And he sort of negated me when I asked the question, and whatever the story was. In any case, the halacha was bol ha'achras retzufin shloishim yoyim shein mechamishi shishim yoyim. Discussion there regarding the auction process when they auction off orphans' assets to repay a debt. So if they auction it, if they announce it continuously, they do it in 30 days. If it's just Mondays and Thursdays, they let it stretch for 60 days to allow for, you know, for best price. In any case, Avimi seemed to be the teacher of Rav Chisda, not the other way around. Says the Gemara, actually, Rav Chisda was the Rebbe. Sorry, Avimi was the Rebbe, but in this case, Avimi had forgotten the Maseches Menachos, forgotten the Halachos. So he came to Rav Chisda to remind him. Avimi Masechta is Akrile. He forgot Maseches Menachos. Maybe he got unwell, he forgot. V'asak made Rav Chisda at Kuri Gemari. And he went to Rav Chisda, who was his Talmud, to try to jog his memory, to remind him, to refresh him, to reteach him, to relearn the Gemara of Menachos. Asked the Gemara, well, if Avimi was the teacher, you should have summoned Rav Chisda to him, not, you know, trouble himself to go to his student. Send him a message to invite him over to him. So Avimi figured, you know what? Sometimes you got to sacrifice. You got to be my senefesh. If you want heavenly assistance, I'll get more siyata d'shmai. Rashi brings the Gemara and Megillah. The harder you work, the more you earn. You get yogata or matzasa tamen, right? The person says, "I worked and I accomplished tamen." That's the way to do it. Okay. In any case, back to the question regarding the kli on the karka. Does it work? So on the way back, Pogabir Rav Nachman, when Avimi came back from Rav Chisda, when he learned the menachis. He met up with Rav Nachman. Va'amarlei, so he asked him. So Rav Nachman says to Avimi, okay, now you're an expert in Menachos. I have a question. Ketzad Kamsin. When you do Kmitza, where do they do it from? Where is the Kli situated? Amarlei, so Avimi pointed to a Kli on the floor. He says, right there, Mekliza, a Kli like this. Amarlei, so Rav Nachman says, really? Even when it's on the floor, it works? V'chi Kamsin, Mekliza, Gabakark. Amarlei, he says, no, I didn't mean that. The Magbuli Kain, of course, we're talking that Kain lifts it. Next question. Ketzad Mekadeshin HaKoyim. So that was the Kmitza. Okay, so you scooped it out. Now, next phase, Kiddush Kaimetz, which requires placing the Kaimetz in the Kli. How do you do that? Amalei, so once again, he pointed to the Kli there. Amalei, nice in the Kli Zeh. So he asked him, really? Even on the floor, v'chim akashim Kli Shekav Akak? Amalei, he says, no, the Magon Kain, of course, I mean that the Kain is holding it. Amalei, so Rav Nachum says, according to you, it has to be manually operated? So you need a number of Kayanim dealing with a mincha. You need the Kain holding the Kli while the next Kain does the scoop, and the third Kain holding the next Kli while the Kain puts the scoop inside. Amalei, imkein, it's rachla, shlesha Kayanim, you need three Kayanim. Rashi says you can't do any avoda with your left hand, so all three kohanim are needed, each one holding a kli with his right hand, kli and the kohanim. Amalei, yeah, okay. What's wrong with three kohanim? Yeah, maybe even if you need 13, like the carbon talmud needs in the morning, what's the big deal? Fine, you need three. Aisvei, now comes the question: really, three kohanim are involved? The Mishnah later on in the Yud Beis discussing the four steps that are involved in the Akhtar of a Mincha, and it talks about Kmitza, and then over to the Matan Kli, over to the Hoylacha, over to the Akhtar. And the point of the Mishnah there is to teach us the Lachos of Pigel, right? So anytime throughout one of these steps he declared an intention of Pigel to do it, you know, to be mocked during the wrong time, the wrong place. So the mission goes like this. Zakla. The rule is, kalakoimetz, if one is involved in the act of kmitz, v'noisim kli, or as he's placing the mincha in a kli, meilich, mocked, right? Either during walking the kaimetz or burning it on his mizbeach. And throughout these steps, he's thinking, to consume material which is meant to be consumed in the wrong time, the wrong place, it disqualifies the carbon. Now, according to you, we're missing a kohen. There's no mention of the kohen holding the kli. The answer is, we're not discussing numbers of people involved, we're discussing distinct phases, you know. That's all the mission is talking about. Tana. Seder avoides nok. He's talking about the different avoides, different steps regarding pigul. Well, he said the kehanim rather than speaking about the amount of kehanim. Okay, interesting discussion whether or not you can use a kli on the floor. Boimene mid Rav Sheshes. So again, the same question was posed to Rav Sheshes. Mal likmoitz mikli shaga bekarak. Okay, so kmitza and a mincha can be done from a kli which is situated on the floor, or do we need the kehanim to hold it? Amalisi says, I have a simple answer. Take a look at what happens in the Heichal when they process the Lechem Apanim, which is a type of mincha because it also is comprised of, you know, mincha material with a kaimetz, although it's not dough, it's breads and the Lavoina, which is like the kmitza of a mincha, because that's the part that represents the Lechem Apanim, that's the burnt on the Mizbeach, you know, the kmitza of the Lavoina, the two spoonfuls of Lavoina, each one holding a kaimetz. So he says like this, Amalei, puk chazei, take a look, ma'avdun l'gav, how they process the lechem apanim inside the heichal. We have a Mishnah which describes in great detail how many kohanim are involved, merely four. Two to switch the breads, two to carry out the spoons, but nobody's lifting the shulchan while they take the material off. Apparently you can do kmitza even from a kli that's situated on the floor, right? Abo kohanim. We have merely four kohanim involved. Nechasen, they go in. Shnayim b'yad m'shnei starim. Two kohanim are holding the two, piles of arrangements of bread, each one a pile. Shnayim b'yad m'shnei b'zichan. Two kohanim are holding the two spoons, each one per kohen. V'arba magdim l'fneim. And you have four kohanim going ahead to remove the last week's, lechem apanim and spoons. Shnayim litol shnei starim, two to take the loaves. Ubeis litol beis bezichem, two to take the spoons. Ve'ilu, and we have no kain there, the Superman, to pick up the shulchan while this is happening. Ve'ilu magbias hashulchan lektani. Apparently, you can do a kmitza off a kli which is on the floor. Because again, as Rashi explains, removal of the bezichem, of these spoons, is tantamount to the kmitza of a mincha. Says the Gemara once again, no. You can't prove anything from there. We're just describing the event, describing the steps, not describing exactly, you know, how many helpers they need. Lav Amr Sassam, just like you responded regarding the earlier Mishnah, say the Ravay Des Nakhil, we're just speaking about the steps involved. Achanami, say the Ravay Des Nakhil, speaking about the steps, the kind that are involved in the integral steps. Well, no. Me doesn't, how do you compare? Hasam Lenachil Minyan, the Kehanim. In the earlier Mishnah, we had no mention of numbers of Kehanim. So perhaps there were many more. But here we discuss exact number 4. And if in fact you need more to lift the shulchan as this is happening, where are they? Listen to Magbiach. It should mention that there's another kain to lift the table. Hello, Shmamino. Apparently, this is in fact a raya that kaimsin mikli shalabakaka shmamino. That in fact you could do kmitza off the kli on the floor. Amrav continues Rav. Okay. Pshitali. So it's clear to me that kaimsin. Mikli shagabekarka. In fact, that's the answer. You can do it. And the raya is from the lechem apanim, as we just explained. Shegematzinu b'siluk bazichin, like you can remove the bazichin from a shulchan which is on the floor. Likewise, mikatche mincha mikli shagabekarka. Initially, when they take the mincha material and put it in the kli before the kmitza, the flour and the oil, you can put it in a kli while it's on the floor. Nobody has to be holding it. How do I know that? Once again, from the way they set up the lechem apanim, they set it up on the floor. On the shulchan, which is situated on the floor, right? Mekatshe mincha b'kli shel gabei karka shekematzin, as we find b'sidur bazichin, as when they set up the bazichim on the shulchan. Boy, Rav, now comes an interesting question. What about kiddush kaimitz, which we discussed before? So setting up the mincha on a kli on the floor is fine. Kmitza, likewise, is okay. What about the next phase? After kmitza, the kiddush kaimitz into a kli, matan kli. Does that require a kohen? Does the kohen have to hold the kli or not? Boy, Rabbi, kiddush kaimitz mai. So we have two possible directions to go. We can go to the kiddush of the mincha, which we said is okay. But we have another option as well. Let's see. Mai. What's the aloha? Mi mincha yafin lo, shall we say? Well, compared to the kiddush of the mincha, which is okay when it's a kli on the floor, as we just explained. So likewise, the kiddush of the kaimitz works the same way. Or shall we say that we compare the kiddush kaimitz to kabbalas hadam? Again, Rashi explains that the four phases, the four steps of avodah by a mincha correspond, they parallel the four avodahs of dam, of a carbon. The kmitza of the mincha is like the shechita, removal of the part which is meant for the mizbeach, the dam, and over here the kmitza goes on the mizbeach. Kiddush kaimitz is like the kabbalah of the dam and a kli. Halacha, haktorah is like zrik. So just like kabbalah sadam needs to be in the hands of a kohen, Masha brings a pasuk, v'krivu b'nei aron, they have to be involved, they have to hold a kli. Likewise, the kiddush kaimitz has to be in a kli held by a kohen. Ayim adam yalfin alo. So should we look locally at mincha? Or should we go over to the Zrika of the Kabbalah of the Dam? Hadar Pashta. Rav himself responded as follows. Midam Yafin Allah. Certainly we go to Dam and compare it to that. Really? Umi Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav in fact say that the Halacha is of a Kmitza comparable to Dam? Well, Itma, we have a Halacha. Kaimet Shechilke B'Shnei Kelim. Suppose he took the Kaimetz, split into two, and place each part in a separate kli. Does that make it kaddish or not? So, technically, all the material ended in a kli, but it wasn't as one entity. It wasn't as one unit. Rav Nachman Amar in a kaddish doesn't work. Rav Amar kaddish does work. V'misa says the Gemara, if it's true that according to Rav, we compare the kiddush of the kaimitz to kabbalas of dam. We know that by kabbalah of dam it has to be the full amount as one. So let's say there's an amount that's required for sprinkling hazah. So let's say it's an ounce, okay? You have to be kabbalah an ounce in one shot. You can't do a half ounce in this kli and then a half ounce in the other kli and then mix them together. You can't do that. The kabbalah has to relate to the full amount as one. The same would happen to the kmitza according to Rava, if they're comparable. And here Rava says you can do it half at a time. B'misa leilaf midam. How do we Rava mehi, right? Rava reverted from that halacha. But in fact, you can't split it. He agreed to Rav Nachman, has to be done as one. Just like that. Okay, now this takes us into a discussion regarding the halachas of dam, which you may recall we had back in Tzvachim as well. It's always good to review. V'dam menon l'kodesh chatan. How do we know that you can't be mekadesh? You can't be mekabel adam piecemeal. V'toni rav tachlifa ben shol. If a brayer said like this, kidesh pachos mikdei hazo b'chlize. V'pachos mikdei hazo b'chlize. Like kidesh. So this speaks about the paraduma waters actually. So the process involves kiddush. First, you take the kli and you amakabal water, spring water, right, fresh water, and then you add the ashes. And you need a shiur, an amount, you know, quantity which allows for hazol. Let's call it an ounce, right? So you have to makadish at least an ounce at a time. Let's say he was makadish a half ounce in this kli, and then a half ounce in the other kli. Right, so he did a half ounce and put the ashes, same with the other kli, and then mixed it all together. Doesn't work, right? Kidesh pachet mechtei azor b'chlizeh u'pachet nazor b'chlizeh. Like, it doesn't work. It has to be on a full amount. An amount which is suitable for a hazor. And the question was asked, what about Kabbalah of dam and a carbon? We apply the same principle or not? What happens to the blood of a carbon? Hilchasahi, shall we say that the requirement by the paraduma water is a halachal meshim Sinai, which is a local halacha, which can't be transferred elsewhere? We never derive from halacha l'meshim Sinai. It's meant for that halacha, not halacha only. Idilmo, you can say that the underlying principle applies equally in both cases. Idilmo hasam my time. Perhaps it's based on a pasuk. Why can't you do half and half by the paradum and the chsiv v'talav amayim? The kohen dips into the water, which indicates that when the ashes were mixed in, it already had the right amount of water. Hachanami, hoksiv v'tal b'adam, the same by Adam. It says he dips his finger in to the known blood, which already had the required amount from the gecko, v'itmar. So what was the conclusion? Amar v'tzirika, amar v'lazar, yeah, apadam le'kidesh. Just like by the paradum water has to be done the right amount to begin with. The same thing with the dam. Amar Rava, Tanya Mehilchi, and Rava brought Breiser as well. So the pasuk speaks about the kohen dipping his v'tava la kohen esetzboi ba'dam v'izim adam sheva pa'amim. We learn three things from this pasuk. From v'tava we learn v'lo mesapik. He has to dip his finger in. He can't just scrape off the walls of the kli. The word badam, the known blood, doesn't say bidam in blood. But the known blood means this blood was there from the beginning. The right amount was there right away. Shei badam shei tefilah mikare. Okay, the dam had enough to allow for a dipping from the moment of Kabbalah, rather than, you know, added afterwards. The word min adam tells you, min adam sheba inyan, from the known blood. We'll see in a minute what that means. I think we'll explain why we need all these separate sources. V'israch l'michtav, v'taval, v'israch l'michtav, v'adam. We need both psuk. Why? Because rachmana v'taval. If only the word v'taval of amina, avgav le'kibel, shir tvilas. Sure, he has to dip in, but who says you have to have the right amount of blood initially? Maybe you can add later. Shir tvilas mikar. That's why it says, because rachmana v'adam, the right amount. Because Rechmona Badam, if only the word Badam, I would say, I feel a misapi, you can scrape off the sides, because Rechmona Batavol, you have to dip it in. Now the words, Minadam Shebeinian, what was that going on? Mutimai, what was that excluding? Minadam Shebeinian, the known blood. Amarav, Lemutish Raim Shebeetzba. Means like this. You can only sprinkle blood from the kli directly. You can't take leftovers. Let's say you sprinkled once and you have some leftover in your finger. You can't use that to sprinkle the next one. Rather, has to wipe it off and start again. Because that blood has already been used. You can't recycle this. Misayele Rav Elazar. This proves Rav Elazar's point. Amar says, Shirayim Shebesar Psulin, the leftovers on the kohen's finger is disqualified for further hazor. Amale Ravin Barav Adal Rava. So he told Rava, Amri Tamidach. You know, your students relate the name of Rav Amar of Amram. Tani Weber Bryce. There's going to be a kasha on Rava, on Rav Elazar, who say that leftovers are disqualified. Rav Bryce, which seems to say otherwise. Hoya Maza. So here we're speaking about a kohen who was doing hazoy, he was spraying the blood of the internal chatos on the pareches and the Beis Hamikdash. Vinitzaz Abiyade, and the blood sprinkled from his finger onto a garment. Now we learned back in Zvachim that if there is blood that is meant for the Mizbeach or meant for hazoy, and it gets diverted onto a garment, that garment requires a special process of kibbutz and a makom kaddish, provided that blood is still active carbon blood. But if it's already used or deactivated, it doesn't apply. So he was a little sprinkling the blood, v'nitzaz omiyada, and some of that blood sprinkled over to a baggage. So it depends. If that diversion happened before he actually sprinkled on the pareches, torn kibbutz, that blood is still active, and kibbutz is required on the baggage. But once he did the azah on the pareches, and then some of the leftovers in his finger went onto the baggage, ain't on kibbutz, kibbutz is not required. My love, let's assume what the b'raisa means like this. When the b'raisa says before hazah, kibbutz is required, after hazah it's not required, it means like this. He's meant to do 7 sprays, right? Before he finished the set of 7, so he's holding by number 3, let's say. 1, 2, 3. Okay, did the 3rd, and some of that blood left in his finger carried over to a baggage. Kibbutz is required, even though it's just leftovers. But since it's in the middle of the active hazor process, Moses said, it's considered active blood. Mishagam hazor said, it's only once he finished his full set of 7, processes it over, now the blood is ready to activate, right? What do we see from here? Even leftovers in the finger is considered active blood. Shmamin of the Shram Shabbat, it's kosher for hazor, and that's why it requires kibbutz. Lo, he says, Rabbi, no, that's not what the b'raisa means. The b'raisa differentiates between before and after, it means like this. If the dam came off his finger before he even sprinkled it, then kibbutz is required. But after sprinkling, the leftover on his finger is nothing. Actually, before the azor left his finger to the pareches, that blood is still active material. Torn kibbutz. Kibbutz is required if it landed on a bag. But once the blood left his finger, azor had been accomplished. So whatever's left on his finger is deactivated. And from the leftovers, landed on a garment, ain't on kibbutz. Kibbutz is not required. Exactly, as I said, because shirayim are not fit, not suitable for azor. Eisvei abaya, abaya is a kasha. Mishnah Maseches Parah says, Gomer lahazos, after the kohen finished doing the hazos of the paraduma on the haramishcha, so he finished the 7 hazos towards the hechel, mekaneach yadu gufshal parah, he takes his hand and he wipes the blood off on the actual body of the cow before they burn it, so that they burn anything and everything together with the parah. Gomer in lo gomer loy. Clearly, that only applies after he finished all hazois, but before, while he's still, middle, he doesn't wipe it on the guf of the parah. Apparently, because the blood on his finger is still suitable, there's no reason to wipe it off. So you see that even shirayim in the etzba is kasha on Malay. Rabbi says, no. Of course, it's not suitable. Gomar mekaneach yodai. The mission just means that when he's finished the whole process, he wipes his whole hand on the parah so that any leftover blood goes along and gets burned. Loigama, but if he's still in the middle, he hadn't finished the set, mekaneach etzba. Of course, he has to wipe his finger to remove the leftover, the excess blood. But he doesn't have to wipe his whole hand, just his finger, to clean it for the next azor. Says the Mabishleim, Magoma, mekaneach etzba, shil parah, understand when he finishes everything, so he cleans his whole hand on the parah. The chsib, basarav, as a parah, the parah says that he burns the cow in front of him right there, so he has it right there, so he has a place to wipe it. But if before he finished all the azois, he's wiping. You tell me he wipes his, cleans his finger off. What's he going to use to wipe it up? He can't do it on the par because it has these hairs. It's going to get stuck on his finger. So what do? Rabbi Bisfas Mizrak. Scrape it off on the edge of the lip of the container, and have the blood trickle outside. That's why the mizrak, the blood containers, are called kipur esav, like yom kippur, right? To wipe away, to clean up. So again, Rav insists that the shiraim of an etzbar apostle, because the pasuk says min hadam, min hadam shebe'inyan, which we learn to mean that only the blood within the kli, never used, never touched, that's suitable. But once it's been on his finger, once it's been used as part of the, you can't recycle that blood and use it again for the next hazo. Okay, so we learned three halachos regarding dam, all based on this pasuk of v'tavol es bo'ei b'dam. We learned that there has to be a shir dam mi'ikara. We learned that it has to be a tefillah and not mesapik. According to some, he must use original blood, not leftovers, on his finger. Regarding the kaimitz, so we spoke about a pasul doing the kmitza. According to Ben Basira, can just return the kmitza to the original location and redo it with a proper kain. The question was, according to some opinions, if that kaimitz was taken to klisharis, it's too far advanced, you can't redo it. So what about placing it back in the original klisharis? That's also kiddush. The three answers to that. Either there's no das for kiddush, or it was an overflowing, it was sitting on top, or it was on a kli on the floor, which according to some shitas wouldn't work. Certainly according to Rav, compares it to dam, right? The kiddush kli in a kmitza is like the kabbalah of a dam, which needs to have, which needs a kli, which is being held by a kohen. Okay, all the best to you, and hatzlacha, Rav.